Okay, good evening, everyone. This is W2 Tango Tango Tango, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Stations out there with emergency or priority traffic, please call. Okey-doke, very good. Okay, the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net is an open net, open to all radio amateurs who are licensed to operate in the 2-meter band in this here United States. It's a conversation. We would like you to participate. Even if you don't find yourself particularly technical or particularly technically wanting enough to ask a question, we still would like you to check in. We do this because we may actually kind of tailor the net to your needs, and we need to know you're out there. So if you have a question or a comment or a topic if you would like to raise, or something you've observed as well as something that puzzles you, you can certainly, you know, raise that. So you'll come in with a question, a comment, both, you're welcome to have both, and also none of the above. Again, we hope you'll check in even if you don't have a question or a comment. So, we do this in something resembling an orderly fashion. And we do it by call sign group and subgroup in some cases. So, in order to make this reasonable, we'll proceed on that in a moment. I do also want to point out that I will be taking check-ins from Echolink at some point. So, keep that in mind as well. We do monitor the Echolink, which, by the way, is Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L. That's Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L for link on Echolink, if you're trying to connect to it. So, with no further ado, let's look for the whiskey station, any station whose call sign begins with the letter W. Please call with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call.
W1AU, Bill, a comment.
Good evening, Bill. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W2CH, Ray, none of the above. Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, Ray. It's good to see you 2 weeks in a row, you and your wife. Check in on the net, bracketing both events. Excellent. Very good, Ray. Any other whiskeys? Okay. How about the November stations?
This is M2OEO. Two questions.
Excellent, Noel. Welcome aboard. Any other Novembers? Okay. Nothing heard of the November stack. Let's go to the Alpha call.
AA2NI, none of the above. Over.
Good evening, Nico. Welcome aboard. It's good hearing you. And, I haven't had supper yet, so I think what's happening here is I'm yawning every so often. Not because I'm terribly tired, but because I'm hungry. Anyway, just got some new tires put on the car. Tomorrow I got to run out and get the front end aligned, so that's one other thing. All right, any other Alpha stations? Okie dokie. Kilo 2s, specifically Kilo 2s. You're next. Okay, any other kilos?
Kilo on India Fox Yankee, new to this net, just listening.
Kilo Bravo 1 India Fox Yankee, very good. What's your QTH and your name, sir?
First name is Bill, Bravo India Lima Lima, and we're in Stamford, Connecticut.
Nice signal from Stamford. It's a very slight hiss, but very, very nice. Just real quick, what are you using, Bill?
using the ASU FT897D, and I've got the MH59 remote mic on it, and I've got the FM modulation set to about 30%.
What are you using for an antenna?
Using a Diamond X6000, which is 2 meter, 440, and 1.2 gig.
Okay. Very good, Bill. Thank you. KB1, India, Foxtrot, Yankee. W2TTT. Very good. Any other kilos? Right. Any other stations, any call sign? Please call.
W2TTT. No comments or questions.
I got you, Don. Very good. Any other?
W2LCN. Name is Rick with no questions, no comments.
Okay, Rick, good evening. W2LCN, where are you located?
Hey, Gordon, I'm over in Bloomingdale, New Jersey. I just ran into the house to kind of do a check-in, and I'm running back out to get everything. But I'm in Bloomingdale, New Jersey. W2LCN, KQBAR, W2LCN.
Okay, Rick, very good. Now I know who you are. Just curious, why did you pick LCN, if I may ask?
The original house that we bought here in Bloomingdale came with some wires lying around. It happened to be an old gentleman named Joe Costanzo, who was W2LCN. I like the call sign. It would be easy to remember for other people to use. So I went ahead and I signed up for the vanity plate. So I'm actually taking the name with me wherever I go, whether it's down to Florida. Just a little piece of history from the house right here in Bloomingdale. W2LCN.
Okay, very good, Rick. Very nice. All right. W2LCN. Any other check-ins before we go to Echolink?
And one hour. Dead. With no traffic, good evening.
The N1, you pop the passband. A lot of audio on your signal. Very pleasant audio, but you popped out of the passband. So what was your call again, and where are you located?
Call is November 1, Oscar, November Zulu, N1ONZ, and the QTH is Poquay, New York, and Dutchess County.
Outstanding. Very good. And your name?
And the handle would be Bob. Bravo, Oscar, Bravo.
Very good, Bob. Very good. Okay. Anybody else for checking in via RF? Echo Link check-in?
Marco, no questions or comments.
You got you, Marco. Anybody else via RF? There's a station there with no audio in your signal, but okay. I'll try that again, please. Okay, anybody via Echolink? Okay, very good. Very good. Wow, we've got a Dutchess County station tonight. We've got a Connecticut station from Stamford. We have a Long Island station. We have a Northwest Jersey station. Or north, very far north Jersey station, and the usual gaggle of locals. That's excellent. That's excellent. All right, let's get to it. W1AU, Mr. Bill, your comment, if I recall.
You recall correctly. KQBAR, W1AU, just a comment that probably a good idea to fuel up the tanks for your car, and if you have generators, do the same, and charge up all the batteries, just in case you need them. If you do it, then nobody will need them, and then we can visualize the storm just dissipating like a cloud on a sunny day. K2BAR, W1AU.
I am sitting here at the local gas station and convenience store. I have watched no fewer than four people come with two gas cans apiece just to buy a little extra gasoline. My guess is they are generators or want to have it for their car. I'm all set up that way already, but very good, though. Yeah, absolutely. Everything's charged up. Everything's topped up. I'll
give it one more top up tomorrow on the vehicle that I'm driving. And James will do the same on his mother's car, which he's commandeered since he got his driver's license. By the way, the KC2 SQV is now mobile. Just thought you'd like to know that, guys. That's pretty cool. All right, anybody have any comments or follow-ons to what Bill raised? This is WQ2TTT. Okay. Well, it's good advice, Bill. Thank you very much for raising it. And get your personal care stuff squared away as well for in your house, for sheltering in place, and for should you have to take the show on the road. All righty. Let's see. At this point, we will go to Noel with your questions, sir. S-O-A-L. WQ2TTT.
Thank you, QBR, to send it to OEL. The first question concerns series of parallel resonance circuits, and I'm trying to figure out which one will allow something to go through and which shorts it out. What I was thinking about, if you happen to have a combination 80 and 160 meter dipole, and of course there's a trap in between. That trap have two inductors to the capacitor in series to stop the 80 meter signal at the proper point and allow the 160 meter signal to use the whole length of the antenna? Or is it a parallel circuit?
The ones I've seen are that the capacitor and inductor are in parallel with each other, and they are in series with the wire. Does that make sense?
So in effect, they cut off the 80-meter signal at that point, and it's my understanding that the injustice then would actually lessen the need for the total length of wire. It's supposed to be, what, 132 feet per quarter wave, about 160 meters, and by putting that trap in, it's actually a little bit shorter, but narrower bandwidth. Is that correct?
Functions as a low-pass filter, and as such, shortens the length of the wire electrically when you're at the higher frequency. Anybody else have any comments for Noel on this? Okay, well, there's your answer, Noel. Anything? What's your next question?
Let me digress just a moment. I just went to the gas station, filled up two and a half cans of gasoline in the car. And this afternoon I filled up the wife's car on the way home from the dentist, just had a root canal. And tomorrow I'm going to make sure that I fill up the propane tank in the motor home, dump out the water that's in the fresh water tank, and fill it up with fresh water, and fill it up with gas. I guess that's what you were referring to. Okay, question. By the way, I think this is more attuned to my needs than Windows 7, but I have a computer that I'm allowed to put up to 4 gigabytes of RAM in it, and I got a reasonably fast hard drive. It's got 7,200 RPM. I don't remember. It's a fast track to track. It's got 64 megs per. Anyway, I upgraded it to Windows 7. It currently has 2 gig in it. Actually, you're allowed to put up to 4. I ordered another 2 gig. I was advised, just a little bit of aside, this is also a 3.2 gig dual processor, I think. It's Core 1 and Core 2. I was looking at it. So it's a 3.2 gig dual processor. You can address up to memory space up to 4 gigs of RAM. I have 2 gigs in it. And I was told that if I was going to optimize the speed on this particular machine, I should go to 32-bit Windows 7. For the simple reason is that I can put in, my friend said, it won't recognize the full 4 gig, it'll recognize 3 point something, but I'll still be able to use that 3.654, whatever it was, gig of RAM. if I put in Windows 64 bits, be able to recognize all 4 gigs. However, it'll have a double word of 64 bits rather than 32 bits, effectively cutting in half the amount of RAM I have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you want to. We discussed this point last week, and the consensus was that you definitely want to run the 32-bit version. Well, pardon me, the 64-bit version of the operating system if you can get away with it.
Well, last week it was the other machine when the computer's upgrading, which is 64-bit Windows 7, and going to 8 gigabytes of RAM. This is a different machine, and the question is, when you're limited in RAM like this, would the Windows 32-bit be faster, because I'd have approximately 3.5 gig of RAM to use, where if I go to Windows 64-bit, which is a limited machine, I would be possibly slower, because every time something goes down the channel, it's takes twice as long because of 64 bits instead of 32 bits, and plus I'm limited to 4 gig of physical memory.
Yeah, so if you can get your maximum utilization out of it, then do that. I don't think there's an issue there.
That was it, and I also bought a quart of oil for the generator. Just in case I need to change it. Mobile One, full synthetic, because it takes a half a quart. And even though it's $10 a quart, when something uses a half a quart, what the heck? Back to that. This is N2OEL.
Very good. Very good. Well, we're really happy to hear that you decided to do the Windows 7 thing, especially after our conversation yesterday, or last week, I should say. So I guess you saw the light and you crossed over the Rubicon. Good for you. We're proud of you. Well, we really are. That's excellent. As soon as I can find Windows 7 drivers for my Toughbooks, they are even going to Windows 7. Someone told me that there are such drivers, but you have to kind of like dig around for them, and it's a real fiasco. So I'm hoping someone has them squared up and ready to go. That would be just a delight. But anyway, I am, pointing out that this storm is, going to rock a lot of worlds. They're talking about a storm surge of 10 feet. I can do the math on that, and that puts water on places like River Road, adjacent to the Hackensack River, in several spots, and any of the streets between the river and many streets between the river and River Road, just to pick one locality in our area. So keep that in mind. Storm surge is going to be a real serious issue. Especially during periods of high tide. So you might want to check out what that is. I didn't actually look it up yet. Maybe someone could do that. The other point to remember is lighting. Get your LED lighting going if you have some. Because you can, it's a lot safer than candles and runs a whole lot longer. And with respect to your generator, Noel, I'm going to be running mine just for grins tomorrow morning. It should be entertaining. My generator is an 8kW, and it's loud. It's very loud. But, man, it'll run forever. So that's another good thing about it. So we'll be doing that tomorrow, too, along with a few other errands. Anybody else have anything to add?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Mr. Nico, go right ahead.
WDTT in the group. Speaking of generator, I have a Coleman 5 kilowatts, also very noisy. There's a hole in the middle of the exhaust. Does anyone know if there's a remote exhaust that can be added and fitted into that hole?
No, but at Coffee Tomorrow I can give you the repair tape that you can wrap around it. It's some kind of cement and fiberglass and hardens up.
No, no, negative. The exhaust was designed with that hole in the middle. That's where the combustion is coming out. My question is, can I fit a pipe or is there a flexible hose with a remote muffler on it that I can just push into that hole? It looks like a 3/4 inch pipe, but there's no thread or anything on it.
W1AU.
Go ahead, Bill.
Nico, I have on occasion wandered around these RV stores, and one of the things I spotted there was a kit just for noisy, smoky, stinky generators. Now, I don't happen to have one of those. Mine is sweet-smelling and very quiet, but I've heard that they do make them noisy, stinky, and whatever. And they have this extension tube that goes up over the top of the RV. If they can do that, as long as your restriction isn't too much, you could take, you know, a Volkswagen muffler or something that doesn't have too much back pressure and put it on almost anything. W1AU.
W1AU, AA29. Thanks. I'll check them on the internet first, and I don't know if a local RV store around. Anyone knows of one that I can just go and take a look?
I have a $10 coupon for the one in Lakewood, New Jersey. There's one in Hackensack, but they don't have a lot of parts. They do mostly repairs. And Julia.
It's interesting. In Lakewood. And where did you say there's a more local one that just does repairs?
It's the one in Closter. They have very few parts. They have some. It doesn't hurt to ask. I forgot the name of it, but I can go look it up in a moment on the internet.
Excellent. Yeah, I would do that. That might be useful for this crowd. I mean, I think your advice is right, Bill. You certainly add a low back pressure exhaust, muffler system, virtually any exhaust. That's probably wise to do for situations like what Nico has. The other consideration is securing your generator during periods of use. I usually run mine in a location that is fully barricaded, and unless you move the vehicle out of the way, you can't get it around the vehicle and down the driveway. So that kind of gives you a little warning as to what's going on. And I have the vehicle stacked up in front of it to make sure that the last vehicle, which is providing security, isn't compromised in any way, like somebody just breaking in the car or sliding it down the driveway into the road and making off with the generator. It would be a much more complicated feat to do that.
Got your answer.
Go right ahead. I'm installing for it.
Gerber RV Truck and Bus, 60 Burlews, B-U-R-L-E-W-S Court, Hackensack, New Jersey. Next to the Hackensack Cemetery, one side is Main Street. Oh, it's near Fairmont. Oh, right there in the corner of Fairmont Car and Truck Rental. So it's right close to that.
Okay, what's the name of the business in Hackensack again?
G-E-R-B-E-R.
Gerber?
Gerber RV Truck and Bus. And usually you can find them very easily. You just look for all the network TV trucks stacked up there that are being repaired. They're one of the few ones that specialize in that. And a whole heck of a lot of big RVs. Class A's, usually.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay.
very, very, very nice. So, in any case, it's a good resource, and God knows they'll do things like that. I haven't had a chance to the other business to keep in mind down that general direction, maybe a little further on River Street, is commercial truck and van. They will repair your chassis. They will do all sorts of additional things, and they'll actually do custom work. That's another one. And the other one is Hackensack Spring. That's the other one. They do suspension systems, and they'll repair anything. So, but those are probably some good choices, all in that same neighborhood.
KC2SQP disconnected.
Hey, A2 and I, thank you. I'll have my work out for me for tomorrow. If not, I'm going to build one.
Excellent. Okay. Very, very good. Anybody else have anything they'd like to raise on the subject?
K2AMI.
Ribbon, please. Do you want to make any more comments, or did you just do that? How about a new topic for the net? Please call W2TTT.
K2AMI.
Go ahead, Tony. Good evening. I'll check in.
Sorry, I'm late checking in, but I don't know if anybody else had made comments. I just want to report on our progress and finality of installing the Red Cross radios. Can I make some comments there?
Please do.
Hey, well, we had a nice crew of five people actually, that showed up this morning at the Red Cross. Matt, now Matt's call I think is KC2OKO or something of that order. Matt comes from Westwood, a young chap. We made him climb through a window and get onto the roof of the overhang and drop the cables down the side of the building, and Matt was our youngest and smallest guy, so we elected him, and he was willing to do it. And then we had Captain Larry there, Larry Wolf, smashed the window for us, and we put a plywood panel in the window, ran a PVC pipe through the window, and brought the cables into the basement of the Red Cross. Red Cross is a drop ceiling, Celotex drop ceiling, so we were able to run the cables across the Celotex drop ceiling, across the kitchen area, which is in the back of the basement area, and to our cabinet at a new installation. And we left with all four radios connected, and the two ham radios were in full operation. So we had Captain Larry, Phil Barber, Bob of BB2AIU, me, and Matt, I guess, was the extra guy. So we had really a good morning. Took us about 4 hours to complete the installation today, and a couple of hours on Monday to move the equipment downstairs. So Red Cross is ready for ham communications if necessary.
Okay. Very good. Very, very good. Well, my guess is there'll be shelter offs and things like that Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But then usually people figure out where they're going. And then I got a note from Fred Schlesinger indicating that he thinks the Red Cross non-shelter operations, the disaster assessment team, will be rocking more like Tuesday. So I don't know if that's true. It might be sooner, but who knows? But the bottom line is certainly they're not going to overlap with shelter operations. So that's a good thing. Last time, I don't know if you remember, it was the Red Cross who received the hams We were assigned to shelters. We did this 5 years ago, if you remember, on tax day, Tony. So, you know, once again, here we are. And so we might be organized under RACES, but we're going to be assigned under Red Cross if it's a shelter operation, at least during the peak elements and the immediate aftermath of the incident. Over.
Understand. We don't operate until they call us, and we don't volunteer until they need us. And we'll call up volunteers if necessary. And as you say, the two duties that we'll have either is assistance in shelter operation communications, or assistance in disaster assessment out in the field later in the week. In any event, Barra has a commitment to Red Cross, and we hope that we can continue with a couple of volunteers when needed. Back to you there, Gordon.
Okay. Very good. Very, very good. Tony, I'll send you our availability through Monday, and you can forward that around. I sent it to Ron, but I don't know if Ron's around. And, so I'll send it to you and Phil Barber, since you tend to be taking the lead in getting out in the field and doing things. So you can draw on us as you see fit. The whole family's members. I only have four currently, but I've also put out a request for support from the hands of our Boy Scout troops. So you might have a few more to help out. Some are parents, some are scouts, some are both. So yeah, in the same family. Alrighty. Anybody else have comments, questions, confusions? Please call. All right. Any other topics people would like to raise at this time? Okie doke. Well, you know what? I'm going to put a cork in it right now then. Thank everybody for this rather short session of Annette tonight. We went on much longer last week. But that happens sometimes. I think everybody's kind of getting their wheels turning and getting busy, getting ready for what may or may not be a significant storm event. So God bless y'all, and take care of your families and yourself, and make sure you're all squared away, and that way you can be in the best possible position to serve others with your God-given gifts. So Godspeed, everyone. This is W2TTT, securing the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net, and thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. And we'll see you over the weekend and probably into next week. Keep an ear out on here in 79 and 70. This is W2TTT.
7-3, enjoy after the week.